Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, that was Listen to the Music by the Doobie Brothers, and that is what we're going to do. Christine's back in the room, and she's with us now to really share her life in seven pieces of music. An impossible task, I know, but Christine, how did you find looking at different periods of your life through the lens of music?
Well, actually, it was quite interesting, but it was very clear in the end, because I'm actually not a huge music listener. You know, like I don't have music going on in the background all the time, like a lot of people do. And I was, you know, the key here for me is it being really careful about what I'm listening to, because I don't want to be listening to something that is subliminally conditioning me into something that I don't want to be. So I've been very selective about my music throughout the years. And as I say, so it was really lovely just going, oh, yes, okay, yes, that's definitely of that era. And this is definitely of that era. So that was great. Great fun exercise to do. Thank you.
Yes, I keep meaning to set it up as a protocol, really, for more to do it with my clients, because it's a lovely way to introduce a life, really. And something about the music and what someone sees in the music is a little bit more bodily, emotionally connected than just hearing a person's life story. So I sometimes feel like I learn more about the people I interview on this program from the music section than when we're specifically talking about their life. So it's kind of interesting. So what is the first piece of music that you're going to set us off with, Christine? Tell us what you've chosen.
You Are My Sunshine. And that came about, that was quite an early memory at school. We had to choose a song and start singing it. And that's what popped into my head at the time. And it was one that my dad was actually into, you know, My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean, but he was also into You Are My Sunshine. And I was not going to sing the My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean because he sung it so terribly. So I decided to stand up and start this You Are My Sunshine, and I cannot sing at all. I was just absolutely mortified. But luckily, because it's such a popular song that a lot of kids know, the other kids joined in with me, and then it wasn't such a horrific experience. So for me, it was like, oh, yay, I got saved. And so I have used that from time to time. Whenever you get asked to stand up and sing, that's the song I like to sing. And, of course, lovely. It relates to my life, you know, like it fits with everything in my life, which is all about light and sun and, yeah.
So right from an early age, you were already honing in on the power of light, right?
Definitely. Yeah. That was definitely part of it.
Well, let's have a listen to You Are My Sunshine. And this one is going to be sung by Kina Grannis, I think, is the one you've chosen. Well, from a lady who deals with light at a very young age, she was choosing You Are My Sunshine as her class song. So that was sung by Kina Grannis, and I'm talking to Christine Carter. So that was from a memory from your school, right?
Yes, one of those times when they make you do something at school that just sends your shivers all up and down your whole body, and you think, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And then luckily that's what popped into my head, yeah.
And you said to me earlier on, you said, you're not going to ask me to sing it, are you?
No, exactly. That would be a nightmare. Our family definitely were never gifted with good vocal cords. So, yes, quite pleased that I'm not having to sing it. Thank you.
Well, if we ever get to meet up, I'll give you a singing lesson and you'll discover that you can sing, I'm sure. I think we're all given that gift, but that's another project, all right? So, and I'm not sure you want it, but I love to challenge people who say they can't sing and see what we can do. But yes, that was You Are My Sunshine. So, moving on, what's your second piece of music for us, Christine?
I did it my way. Now, this is really relevant because I quite early on realized that I was kind of unemployable. you know, there was, I was just one of those that, as far as I was concerned, you had to do it my way. And I couldn't quite get it that some boss was trying to tell me to do it some other way that to me just never, ever fitted. And my first boss happened to be my dad. And oh, the arguments we used to have was incredible. And he had that as a motto as well. He did it his way. And he used to do some things his way really strangely. But of course, it worked for him. And that's what I kind of, I think, learned about myself as well. When I do it my way, it works for me. And it was very interesting eventually when he passed in the time of the lockdown. In fact, he was died 4 days after that first lockdown that we had. And so it was right in the middle of, you know, absolutely no funerals, nothing. And the funeral directors luckily knew him exceptionally well because he'd attended so many funerals throughout the years of all of his clients as they passed. And so they knew him really well as well. And that was quite funny because it was one of the things that he had discussed with this funeral director is that when I do pass, I do not want a big funeral. So if my kids are going to try and make me have a big funeral, I just want you to know that I want it very simple, something that's, you know, not going to be too big at all. Anyway, of course, he passed right in the middle of lockdown, and so there was no funeral at all. And so the tongue-in-cheek, the funeral director thought this was quite hilarious. And we discussed all the songs that we were meant to be singing or using for his funeral thing. And unbeknownst to us, they added in I Did It My Way as the last part of the his funeral and when it was all going out. And so it was just lovely. I thought, that is just so perfect because that's exactly what he would have liked. He did not want to have a big, fussy funeral. So he did it his
well,
way.
I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? That he wanted a funeral without fuss. And so he died in the middle of a COVID scare in which no one was allowed to go. But of course, the funerals are really for people who are left. It's the funerals are really about us, you know, commiserating. So there was no funeral for you to be able to be with other people around his passing. You had no funeral at all?
No, no funeral at all. Although my mum passed at the same time, or right at the end of that time. And so we were able to have 50 people came to her funeral. So we kind of incorporated it all then, if that makes sense. Yeah, with family at that particular time. So she passed, I believe, because she had a bit of Alzheimer's and she would have not known why none of us were visiting all over that time. I'm quite convinced she died feeling very lonely and abandoned because we'd either Dad or ourselves had been visiting her every day up until then. And then all of a sudden, 6 weeks, no visitors. And it was interesting in the nursing home at the time, 19 people died in that small nursing home in that period of time, like a lot more than normal. And I think a lot of it was just from sheer heartbreak, not from nobody got COVID. So that was very, very sad for me. Yeah.
Well, there's a poignancy to that, Christine, and a really powerful. I'm sure some of the listeners are nodding their heads and perhaps also connecting with. Yes, you got it on both sides, you know, that people dying, and especially in a confused state, wouldn't have known why no one was visiting. That's a tragic story. And also the people that are left after someone passes, we need each other at times like that, don't we? And so to be denied that community, that human contact, I think it's one of the biggest crimes. And I think what you just said about the nursing homes, I heard a chilling tale, actually, from one of my students of, she's a massage therapist, and she goes around old people's homes, and she's an older person herself, and she's giving them clothed touch. She goes into the centers, and it's so appreciated what she gives them. They're so desperate for a bit of human touch and soothing in these places. As she would arrive with a massage chair, and if they couldn't fit on the massage chair, she'd do them in the armchair or wherever. She is a very wonderful person. And what interested me, Christine, was that she told me that after the lockdowns, and in this is in the UK, and they had really long lockdowns. I mean, so did we, but they went on for months and months and months. some older people wouldn't come out of their rooms.
There's so much fear. And of course, when people are older, they're watching that news all the time. So it would have been massive for them. Like, you know, we just stopped watching, you know, which helped. You could get out and do stuff and sort of forget that trauma was going on all around.
Well, I don't know why anyone would watch any legacy or listen to any legacy media whatsoever, because it's all a bunch of lies. So I don't, you know, there's an ulterior intention behind every single broadcast, as far as I can see. And just as you said about music, I don't want to be subliminally programmed by anyone. And I really am very suspicious of what's going on TV and other forms of media. So yes, well, this is diving down a dark hole, really. But I think it's worth stating, isn't it, that this is the reality. And certainly as a psychotherapist and for you as a healer, I think we're going to be dealing with the after effects of this for a long time, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Well, and in fact, it was interesting because when we helped out with the Christchurch earthquake, we could see the trauma in people's faces. And sometimes when we'd even travel around, we'd be in another city somewhere. And I'd go up to people and say, "You're from Christchurch, aren't you?" They say, "How do you know?" And I go, "Because I can see it on your face. Can you tell me your story? What happened to you on the dates of it?" And then they'd share their story and you could see the light would come back on again because they had this chance to talk about it. And so, I've very much learned that is definitely part of the healing. In fact, it was quite interesting because we just purchased this property when the Freedom Camp happened in Wellington. Otherwise, we would normally have been there, but it was like we just had so much to do to set up here. And then afterwards, I realised there was a reason why we didn't go. It's because we were here to receive the people that had come back that needed to tell their stories. And it was like, oh, okay, now I know. And yeah, that's how we actually connected with a lot of the people here in the community in a lot deeper way, was after they came back from the freedom camps, both at Picton and in Wellington.
So. And were many people, I mean, I found when people came back, and we were doing the same here in Wanaka and receiving people back, and many of them came back broken and shattered and not, you know, really struggling. I mean, in the early days, if they stayed in the early part, they came back inspired and just so excited by what they'd had. But those that stayed right through to the end came back incredibly broken and damaged, I felt.
Yeah, well, it was two parts, because on one hand, yes, the trauma of what they were dealing with, especially at the end with some of the things that were put out there, which were horrific, which was quite damaging physically as well as mentally. But it was, they also felt inspired as well. Like, I just loved hearing the stories of how they managed to get through all of the trauma that was happening because they were sharing with everybody. And because there was no actual fixed leaders, everybody was stepping up to the mark. And that was what really inspired me. I saw in each one that had come back, I was able to help them see what it was that they contributed and kind of get them to see what a gift it was that they have, that, you know, and how often could that be used in your everyday life? Because everybody stepped up in some way or another. And so once they had talked through the trauma part, they were able to let that go and see the positive that came out of it. I think that's really empowering.
Beautiful. Well, somehow all of that links in peculiar and wonderful ways to your choice of the second piece of music, which we're going to listen to now. But there is a link there, really, because I think what you just said then, everybody stepped up. And I think at that time, so many people stepped up and decided they were sick and tired of being told how to do things. And we all wanted to do it our way, you know, and our way was not their way. And so let's have a listen to this beautiful piece of music. Well, this amazing, iconic piece of music called "I Did It My Way." That was I Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra and Christine Carter. We're on to our third piece of music. What have you got lined up for us?
On the Road Again was the song. I can remember when we'd gone through this huge thing of buying the motorhome. And as I said earlier on, the exciting part about it was that she kind of chose us. And so we were on the road and we'd had a few hiccups before because the fridge didn't first work on the first little journey. And then secondly, we off again now with a good brand new fridge. We're so lucky. And it just felt absolutely pertinent. We turned on the radio at the time and that song, Willie Nelson's song, came up. You know, once again, these synchronistic things people don't always believe actually happen. Well, we end up going and getting a Willie Nelson cassette tape after that with On the Road Again because we felt like that was our theme song now. And often, even now, even though I don't know where that cassette tape's gone, we don't even have a cassette player any longer, but when we do take off in the motorhome, even now, you know, when we're ready to go on the road again, which is quite exciting for me, and, you know, when we're now a bit more sedentary, is that song always comes into my head, we're on the road again. You know, it's like this lovely, lovely sort of memento of being on the road and living where you never know. You get to the end, you get to a T-section and you decide, do I go left or do I go right? And then the magic will happen, you know, whichever way you go.
Well, from a real professional traveller, someone who spent 30 years on the road by the sound of it, let's have a listen to Willie Nelson, the iconic Willie Nelson singing On the Road Again. Beautiful. On the Road Again with Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Real People with me, Joe Pives. And in the psychotherapist chair, we have Christine Carter. And she's sharing her life through seven pieces of music with meaning. Christine, what's your fourth piece that you've got for us?
Well, this was a significant piece because when we first came back from overseas, you know, so many years traveling, 14 years total, we had this magical opportunity happened for us, and it came out of intention. Both Sam and I had sort of said, we really need to connect with what the healing journey of what's happening here in New Zealand, especially in relationship to Māori, and learn a little bit more about the rongoā, the medicine, but as well as that, the healing practices. And so it was quite funny because I sort of said to my son, you know, I'd like to go back home to Whakatāne and to connect in with some of the healers there. And he said, well, that's really funny you should say that because Barry Brailsford's speaking tonight at the Wairaka Marae. Why don't we go? He said, I was kind of interested to go. So we took off, long story short, ended up at this gathering that was a healers gathering. And Rose Petty, and there was a whole group of different people there. And Barry spoke about the movement of the moon, which was really beautiful. But Rose, one of her waiatas that she often sings is, how can I be humble when I'm as perfect as I am? And I thought at first, oh, that's a bit arrogant to sing that. And then the more and more I thought about it, and she ended off with saying, you know, until we really love ourselves, how are we ever going to expect somebody else to love us? And it was like, that's it. This is a song that actually relates to something that's really, really important for all of us, to recognize that, yeah, why be humble? You know, it was such a Kiwi trait. Because we are all perfect, just as we are, even with our little sores and the things that we want to pick at and think that's wrong. But actually, in reality, we're just perfect as we are.
Beautiful. Let's have a listen to It's Hard to Be Humble, otherwise known as the Narcissist Swan Song.
Oh, really? Yes, I can imagine.
But like you, I think, you know, the root of so much disease and unhappiness is a refusal to turn our love onto ourselves and to bring understanding and compassion to our own lives and our own self. And without that, you can, well, someone said it rather well, didn't he? So was it St. Paul who said, you know, you can move mountains, you can do all these things, but if you don't have love, then you have nothing, you know. And the love is at the heart. And if we don't give it to ourselves, then we're absolute rubbish at giving it to other people. So it's a lovely sentiment. And I'm with you all the way, Christine. So let's have a listen to Celebrating and with a beautiful song, It's Hard to Be Humble. We're going to have Willie Nelson sing this one again. So good old Willie giving it his all. Well, you're getting a feast of Willie Nelson today, and it's lovely to hear his song, It's Hard to Be Humble. Christine Carter, you're on your fifth piece with us now, traveling through your life. What have you got for us?
Well, also when we came back, one of the first things we connected with was the Luminate Festival. And because of the name, Luminate, you know, and so we thought, oh, this is all to do with light, blah, blah, blah. And at that stage, we just started our business up with the light, with Bioptron. And so I thought, yes, we can go and help and contribute. Well, a long story short, we ended up sort of being part of the crew that helped with setup for a month or so before the festival. And actually, by the time the festival came, all we wanted to do was go home to bed. But one of the magical people that would attend these festivals and contribute so much was Matu. And he would sing the Rainbow Warrior song. And I don't know, there was just something in the rhythm, the beat, whatever it was, would really just hit home for me. Is that, yeah, I'm a warrior, but not a warrior like in the old idea of a warrior, which is fight and, you know, go against something, but a warrior that educates and inspires people to do something. And that's what I get out of that song. It's like, yeah. And I believe that he did that so brilliantly at the Freedom Camp in Wellington. You know, he really was an example of that for so many of the people there. We're not here to fight. We're here to educate, to inspire, and yeah. And so to me, that's just what that song's all about.
Yeah, so we're going to hear Matiu Te Huki sing his song Rainbow Warrior. And if you want to learn more about Matiu, you can go back to the replays, because he also was a guest here on Real People. And again, it was a lovely, lovely chat that we had. And I believe other people have told me that he pretty much stopped the possibility of everything going violent by his singing intervention. And he transformed the moment from what could potentially have been a flashpoint into a profound moment where everyone lifted their vibrations and refused to go down the path of violence. And everyone started singing with Matiu, and many different people have told me it was an amazing moment, and the power of peace and the power of song. And yeah, he's a wonderful man, and he's worth listening to if you could get a chance to hear him on the replay. So let's have a listen to Rainbow Warrior, sung by Matiu Te Huki. That was Rainbow Warrior, sung by Matiu Te Huki. So what are you lining up for us for your sixth piece, Christine?
Well, this is a piece that's very special to me because I was actually there in part of the construction of it. Ellie Cook and I were in the motorhome while we were on Sue Gray's campaign, and Ellie was sleeping in the bed up in the front of the motorhome, and I was in the back, and we were kind of a bit wired from a really busy day, and she was nutting through the song, the Freedom song, ready for the campaign, but as well as that, to once again lift people up into freedom. And she's lying in the bed up the front. Every now and again, she pokes her head around the corner and goes, oh, I've got another part to it. I think what I can do is I can include the choir. And she just had all these inspirations. And then she was, now, what does this sound like? And she'd play it off to me. It was just such a beautiful night, and it took quite some time. And then when the final piece came out, I was just so impressed. And I thought, yeah, this is one of my songs, not only because I was there as part of the construction of it, but just because it actually says all that we need to say about what's happening in these times, is that we are free. We're free within ourselves, and that's where the freedom comes from, not from what's outside of us or the restrictions that are happening. You know, all those restrictions that are happening are all part of the planetary lineup right now. In fact, I say to people, it's a little bit like we're in these times of we're pruning humanity, you know, a bit like we prune the garden. You've got to prune it all back really hard, and then everything will flourish again in a beautiful way. And that's what all these restrictions are about. So we are free when we feel it in here.
Beautiful. Let's have a listen to the remarkable Ellie Cook singing Freedom. Well, that was the amazing and remarkable Ellie Cook singing Freedom. And this is the seventh and final track that we're going to have with Christine Carter, who has generously given up her time on this Tuesday afternoon to share with us her life by sitting in the psychotherapist chair and coming back to give us her music with meaning. So, Christine, what have you got for your last piece of music?
Well, this one is not for just a particular period of my life. I think it really kind of covers my whole life. Even as a child, I used to feel goosebumps go right through me whenever I heard Pukwara Kariana sung. All the way through, we actually once again got the cassette tape while we were overseas that had Pukwara Kariana and some other beautiful waiatas on it as well to play when we were on the road, because it would then just bring, in fact, it would bring tears to my eyes often, especially if I was a bit homesick, because for me that song just, I don't know, it just says it all somehow, and I don't even know what the translation of it is, which is probably naughty, something I can now go and do. But all the way through, it just somehow, it reminds me of any time we're on marae and you have these beautiful singers just stand up and share their waiatas, their songs. It's just this uplifting feeling that you get when you're around the beautiful songs. And for me, Pukwara Kariana is the one that kind of says it all. And yeah, so I just thought that was a lovely one to round off with. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're going to listen to a version of that sung by Hayley Westenra. And even when I was far away from my long-forgotten Kiwi roots, I left the country when I was four. In my work, Hayley Westenra was one of my most frequent musicians that I came to. And this is a beautiful version. And so, yes, we're going to listen to this. Now, Christine, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to as it walk alongside you as you reminisce on your wonderful and beautiful life. I just want to say that I hope you carry on bringing light and love and joy to wherever you are. It seems to be what you do, and it's been a real honor to spend this time with you sitting in the psychotherapist chair. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.